Hello, paranormal friends. It's your buddy, host of the Capture Paranormal Podcast, Jason. Would you like to see the podcast notes for the upcoming episode that you're about to listen to? Would you like to see them in advance to listening to the episode? Well, I've got your hookup. Head to patreon.com/captureparanormal. Pledge at one of the tiers, including a residual haunter, intelligent haunter, poltergeist haunter, or a demonic haunter. And you could receive exclusive access to the podcast notes written by hand right there at patreon.com/captureparanormal. But that's not all. You're not going to just get the podcast notes. You could be getting access to exclusive pictures, exclusive videos, real-time Capture Paranormal investigation updates. You could even choose a Paranerd Talk episode of the Capture Paranormal podcast. You can receive credit on a Capture Paranormal video, or if you pledge at the Demonic Haunter tier, be a co-host, along with me, for the Capture Paranormal podcast. So please help out Capture Paranormal if you enjoy listening to the Capture Paranormal podcast, if you enjoy our videos over at youtube.com/captureparanormal. We put a lot of work into these podcasts and videos, so we'd love for you to join us and help donate to the team. Pledge, and we want to give you exclusive access and exclusive pictures and videos, and heck, even have you on the Capture Paranormal podcast. So please, again, head over to patreon.com/captureparanormal. Pledge today at one of the tiers. Start receiving exclusive content from Capture Paranormal and become part of the Capture Paranormal Patreon community. Paranormal Podcast. Greetings and welcome to the Capture Paranormal Podcast. I am your host, Jason. And on this episode, we will be discussing Ghost Hunters, not only episode 7, but it was a double episode week with episode 7, Suicide Hotel, and episode 8, Home for the Haunting. So we're going to delve into both of those episodes on this one podcast. It's a two-for-one deal. But before we do that, a little information and update from the Capture Paranormal camp. This past weekend, Mike and myself were at the Backus Page House Museum, located in Wallacetown, Ontario, for the Dutton Dunwich Doors Open 2019 event. We were invited to the Backus Page House Museum to display our ghost hunting gear and meet some of the people that would be taking part of this Doors Open events, where a variety of buildings and businesses open up for the day for tours as a part of one big kind of open house where anybody can visit these locations for free and go see what's going on in the local community. So we were at the Backus Page House Museum, had all our gear set up, and I'm not going to lie, we were kind of under the impression, because the Backus Page House Museum is so far out of the way, I would say, we didn't expect that many people to kind of show up. We were excited to go and be there and talk to the people who would be showing up for this Doors Open event, and we were actually blown away. Mike and myself were blown away by the almost 200 people that came through the Backus Page House Museum for the tour and who stopped by the Capture Paranormal section of the Backus Page and took a look at our gear and talked ghosts with us, told us all their stories, and it was a lot of fun. So we want to thank the Backus Page House Museum for inviting us out to that event. We had a great time, and we will be back at the Backus Page House Museum on November 1st and 2nd for our public events. Unfortunately, if you're listening to this now, the event is sold out. They sold out pretty quick for November 1st and 2nd. And we had a lot of inquiries at the Doors Open event about future events, which could be in the works for next year. Make sure you go to captureparanormal.com/events to keep updated on all the upcoming events that we have going on around the southwestern Ontario region. You can also like us at facebook.com/captureparanormal, and that's a great way to keep up to date with all of the Capture Paranormal goings on in the way of events and such. So getting into this past week's Ghost Hunters episodes, we had a 2-episode night with episode 7 and episode 8. So we're going to dive right into these episodes, and we'll start with episode 7, Suicide Hotel, where the Ghost Hunters team were at the Original Springs Hotel in Aukaville, Illinois. And that's where Jeremy and Kendra contacted the Ghost Hunters team, as they had many interesting, what they thought was paranormal encounters going on there, from items moving and a variety of people seeing a lady in white roaming about the hotel, as well as 3 suicides that took place at the hotel by prior management individuals. And so Jeremy was kind of giving the impression that he was scared that his mother, the owner of the hotel, Mary, would succumb to these kind of, this curse, if you will. And he wanted the Ghost Hunters to come out and see what they could find in hopes of making sure that this did not happen to his mother. So the hotel was opened by Anna Sheerbaum after a visit to the area in which supposedly the water in the springs healed her ailments that she was suffering from. And so she decided to open up this hotel and have people come from all over to take part of this supposed healing springs. And thus the hotel became known for this healing water there in Illinois. So the team began the night as Brennan and Mustafa were on the second floor. They got some EMF spikes. They mentioned the name Anna. And during their time there, their mic battery packs died, which is, you know, supposedly spirits draw the energy from different battery sources and energy sources. And their batteries in the mic pack, they were dead when there were supposedly fresh new batteries that were just changed and supposedly last for hours and hours. And they were completely dead. So whether that corroborated with this, these EMF spikes and possibly being Anna Sheerbaum, we might never know. But we then went to Rochelle and Brian, who were in the restaurant. Again, they got EMF spikes, and mentioning Anna's name, they got some EMF readings. They asked if she was maybe the lady in white that had been seen in the hotel, and there was no response. We then went over to Daryl and Kirsten on the third floor, room 50, and that's where Daryl and Kirsten heard what they said was steps above them on the floor above where they were, and they were on the top floor, I believe, so there was no rooms or anything above them which would have caused these steps unless they were critters or something on the roof. We then went over to Brian, Grant, and Rochelle, who were on the third floor. Brian saw what he thought was a flash in the hallway, so he went to see what that was all about and didn't find anything interesting out there. Just this flash that he claimed to have seen in the hallway. We then went back to Brennan and Mustafa, who were in the bathhouse this time. And they were getting EMF spikes with the name Mary, that being Jeremy's mother, the owner of the hotel. And they soon found out that the EMF spikes were in conjunction with the air conditioning unit that was turning on. And that just started the realization that there was EMF flooding the entire bathhouse. Pretty much every inch of the bathhouse was letting off EMF spikes on the data logger from a variety of power sources. So pretty much all of that evidence, if you want to call it that, from that area was thrown out the window because If you're an investigator, if you know about investigating, if there's any type of electronic interference, it pretty much throws out all your previous evidence or collection of possible evidence out the window, as that's pretty much going to interfere and debunk any possible evidence that you have collected in that area, whether it be a home or business or hotel in this case. So they brought in an aquatic ecologist who found that the mineral water at the Springs Hotel was 3 times more conductive than normal, which would definitely throw things off with the data loggers and the EMF detectors that they were using during this investigation, because those devices will pick up that conductivity from the water itself. So we move into night two. We see Grant and Brennan and Mustafa in the restaurant. They're doing the infrasound tests and found that there was basically dB levels that are either below or above what the human ear can pick up. It tested positive for that in the restaurant. So there was some levels of sound that would definitely make people disoriented or have issues with maybe their equilibrium, things of that nature that will make you think that you're seeing things or hearing things or make you a little bit unstable. So that was another issue at this hotel that could be proof that it's not just paranormal activity at the hotel. It's there's logical explanations for this. Now, going back to that infrasound testing, I found that very interesting. I'd love to have something like that for our team, or just in general used more in the paranormal field. It's being kind of a musician. I understand a little bit with what the whole dB level thing being high or low, and how that can affect people when you're in recording studio or whatnot, and you can see the dB levels even when you're editing, say, a podcast or editing any kind of audio. So at the end of episode 7, we got the reveal, which was basically the EMF spikes and the high amount of EMF found inside the hotel and the bathhouse. They went over the footsteps that Kirsten and Daryl had heard on the third floor. They go over the infrasound tests done by Grant, Brandon, and Mustafa, and how the water is about 3 times more conductive than regular mineral water found anywhere else, as opposed to the water at this original Springs Hotel. So pretty straightforward episode. Nothing too paranormal, I would say. There's a lot of logical explanations for things going on at the hotel. The whole idea of the 3 different suicides that took place at the original Springs Hotel, a little odd, but I don't see it being paranormal. It could just be a coincidence or something else going on there that these 3 individuals felt the need to take their own lives. But I don't see that happening for the current owner, Mary, and Jeremy and Kendra have nothing to worry about. So, before we get into episode 8, I want to tell you guys about youtube.com/captureparanormal. That's where you'll find all of our Capture Paranormal videos, including our investigation videos, our full-length investigation videos. You'll also get the Paranerd Talk episodes. We have a podcast version that is in the archives right now that you can listen to, or a video version on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/captureparanormal. We also have a Glance Into video, which I'd like to do a little more of those. Maybe next year we can get a few more Glance Into videos. So if you're in the Southwestern Ontario region and you know of any small town hauntings, stories, or myths, or legends, hit us up at captureparanormal@gmail.com and we could come out to film a little bit and learn the story of your haunting or your legend that you want to tell more people to learn about. You will also find our brand new playlist entitled Captured, where we take our best moments and we put them into a quick 1 to 2 minute video, easily accessible, easily digestible. You can go on there and see some of our best evidence and give us your take. Let us know what you think about it. If you can debunk it, if you think there's a logical explanation for what we caught on video, let us know in the comments and make sure you subscribe to Capture Paranormal on YouTube. We'll be updating that playlist in the next couple weeks, a new video every week, a new clip every week, and you can let us know. It's just an easier way for people to, instead of watching a full-length Capture Paranormal Investigation video, some people don't have the time for that kind of thing. We want to make it a lot easier for those kind of people who only have so much time can access our videos and see the interesting stuff that we've captured during our investigations. And this is just an easier way for people to do that. They can log on, like I said, 1 to 2 minute video. They're going to see the clip twice and then see a little zoomed in video on the section of video in question. And you can give us your thoughts and your opinions on what you think it is. If you think it's interesting, let us know. If you can debunk it, let us know. So that's youtube.com/captureparanormal. Subscribe and check out all of our content we have on there. Hey guys, I'm going to jump in right here because during all this excitement about these new Ghost Hunter episodes, I totally forgot to mention about our contest. That's right, you could win a Capture Paranormal t-shirt. So what you need to do is you need to go on Facebook to facebook.com/captureparanormal, share the page, and use the hashtag CapturePod. So head over to facebook.com/captureparanormal, hit the share page button, and it should pop up there with a spot there to write a comment, and you're going to input the hashtag CapturePod in order to be entered into this contest to win a free Capture Paranormal t-shirt. Once again, that's facebook.com/captureparanormal. Share the page with the hashtag CapturePod and you will be entered. We're also on Instagram at Capture Paranormal. Give us a follow. We'll follow you back. We're also on Twitter at Capture Paranorm. So with those plugs out of the way, let's get into Ghost Hunters, Episode 8, Home for the Haunting. The team were in Willimantic, Connecticut, at a private residence where a woman who owns the home lives with her son, and they've been having strange occurrences happen, and she's fearful that these things might affect her son, her young son. Some of the claims they have was hearing a man running up the stairs. This is something they hear quite often. The son has also seen a shadow figure, and they've heard voices from men to children all throughout the house. One thing that was interesting was that the client kept a diary of all the occurrences pretty much daily that happened within the home with her and her son. And this is one kind of action that we at Capture Paranormal a lot of times have people do after we've investigated their home, is to keep a log of all the things that have been going on. This lady apparently had a head start. She had the wherewithal to start this diary of paranormal happenings and instances. And this is one thing we encourage all of our clients to do, whether it's before or after they contact us to come and do an investigation. Usually if we go to do the investigation and we think there may be something there, we give them the idea to just grab a notebook and have it readily available. So if anything does happen, they can jot it down really quickly, and that way keep a log of these things that are going on. That way if we return or any other paranormal team returns for another investigation, you kind of get an idea of where these hot spots might be within the home or business. And it's a lot easier if you kind of have an idea that you can gauge where things are happening the most and use your time wisely and kind of hit these hot spots more than any other spot. So they were happy with her doing this diary, and it helped, which they use later on in the episode, which we'll get into. One thing I did notice as well that was quite interesting was during their little B-roll shots of stairs and bedrooms and things of that nature while they were going over all the claims. They had that kind of dust effect going on. I don't know if it was, I doubt it was the actual, you know, dust floating around in the rooms or in the stairwells, but they added these kind of floaty things in the screen, almost like a filter, I think, over top of this B-roll video. And it was quite interesting because, as you know, if you've listened to the Capture Paranormal podcast before, the whole orbs in videos and pictures being dust or rain or debris in the air kind of played into that, because it gave you an idea of, well, here's a video of the bedroom and there's all these little things floating around, whether they're kind of trying to push the idea that these are ghosts or spirits, or if it's almost the opposite, where they're like, hey, this is just dust, this is what dust looks like on film, whether it's a filter or not. I don't know, I found that quite interesting for sure. So they started with Brendan and Mustafa. They were going to do kind of one team at a time in the house. So they're going to have one team go in and then switch and then switch again. And Brendan and Mustafa were the first team. They were on the second floor. They had some pressure and temperature fluctuation on their data logger. That was about it there. We had Daryl and Kirsten on the third floor. They were using the binaural mic and a FLIR. Unfortunately, no evidence there. They were unsuccessful in communicating with anything. Then had Rochelle and Brian on the first floor. They apparently heard a voice of some sort, and Brian apparently saw something move on the stairwell, the stair area where these claims of a man running up the stairs had been. He checked it out. He had the other team members, Daryl and Mustafa, walk past the window to see if maybe it was somebody walking past the window on the stairwell. But he said he didn't see anything at that point. So this was just a very dark image that moved in the stairwell. We then had Grant, Brandon, and Mustafa on the third floor using the infrasound device. They also found that the home is quite uneven on the third floor. It's almost like a funhouse effect, which could possibly cause a lot of these uneasy feelings and unstable feelings, I guess, if you're in a room. That's why it's dubbed a funhouse, because if you go to a carnival of some sort, and they have those clown houses, these fun houses where people walk through and the mirrors are all changing shapes and the floorboards are all changing directions and things are moving around you, it gives you that discombobulated effect that can make you think you're feeling things or seeing things. So as they're exiting the house, Brennan, Grant, and Mustafa, their camera guy that was following them down the stairs, they got to the bottom of the stairs and continued walking, and he apparently heard what sounded like two footsteps behind him, so that caused him to kind of stir a little bit and jump back, and they all went over and over to the stairwell to see what it could possibly have been. They did get a temperature fluctuation on the stairwell just after that. If you saw the episode, you heard how creaky those stairs were. I've been in houses before where it's the same type of thing, where it's just very loud. The wood on the stairwell, they're just super loud and creaky. And I've seen where even if you're not on the stairs themselves or in a certain room, if you step on a certain part of the floor, say around it or even a couple feet away from it, it will make sounds on the stairwell or a room across the hall. They will make sounds on the floors over there. So to have these four guys coming down the stairs, causing a ruckus, all the pressure movement and, you know, gravity, things of that nature, for them to be walking, say, we'll say 3, 5, maybe 10 feet away from the stairwell, it could cause the sound or the assumption that something's walking behind them, when really it's just the floorboards and the wood in the floor and the pressure that causes those sounds to happen behind them. So that's kind of what I chalked it up to. The pressure happening, the pressure fluctuation on the data logger was quite interesting, I guess. But to have to kind of go off that it was full steps behind them, I wouldn't really take that as evidence, because as I said, I've been in those situations before where you step on a piece of floor in one room and it creaks in the other room. So I wouldn't really chalk that up to any evidence, ghostly evidence, I would say. So night two, they take a different approach. They're going to have one team on every floor and kind of do what Grant called a bum rush. So if the entities are in one room where nobody is, they'll rush into that room really quickly, and hopefully that will stir up the entity that would be there to make some noise or contact or try to escape into a separate room, things of that nature. So we had Grant, Daryl, and Kirsten on the second floor, while Kirsten read from the client's diary of the variety of paranormal events that have happened, and she logged in this diary. Then Grant gives the order to rush into a new room that you haven't been in, so they all rush into a different room quickly, and it's pretty much quiet, which leads them to start to believe that this could be a possible residual haunting, where it's not so much an intelligent entity in the home, it's the energy within the home. I had an instance once where I had a cat who passed away, and every time he walked up and down the stairs, it would kind of have that a certain sound, a distinct sound. And the one day, a few days after he had passed, I was sitting there just watching TV or whatever I was doing, and I heard that exact sound go down the stairs. So whether it was, say, his spirit walking down the stairs, or it was a residual that, since he goes up and down those stairs all day long, it kind of imprinted into the fabric of what the energy or whatever it may be going up and down those stairs. And that's what I heard, was this residual energy from those events. So Brandon decides to try to set up data loggers on the steps themselves. He had three data loggers on separate steps, and they were getting pressure spikes kind of in order in succession. So the top one would go off and the second one would go off, as if somebody's walking up and down the stairs. Where they hear the running, they move and do the same thing on the second floor, the second to the third floor, setting up the data loggers. And the same thing, they had pressure spikes, which was kind of interesting, as if somebody was, again, walking down the stairs. And so for the end of this episode, the reveal, basically just went over how the third floor is kind of a funhouse effect, and maybe one way to kind of combat the feeling and the fear of being on the third floor in that bedroom is to just move the sun down to a different level of the home, and maybe use that upstairs as a playroom or whatnot during the day, and have them sleep on either the first or second floor. They also went over the residual haunting, how they believe that it was a residual haunting that's they're dealing with, since they got no real intelligent communication or anything of that like that. It's quite possible that since everything's happening on the stairwell pretty much, or seeing these figures or hearing these voices, that's just energy that's trapped and residual energy within the home, which is a lot easier to deal with if you believe you're dealing with residual haunting as opposed to an intelligent haunting. The residual would be a lot easier to handle and deal with, as, okay, well, this stuff's going to happen, so it's just a matter of when. I know it's going to happen, it's just a matter of when, which makes it a lot easier to deal with for people. And that pretty much wrapped up episode 8, Home for the Haunting, for Ghost Hunters. And I believe next week, again, we'll get a double episode before the finale on October 30th. And so I hope you return to the Capture Paranormal podcast. Even if you've watched the Ghost Hunters episode, I'd like to just give kind of my little take on things that I can relate to, like being on the stairwell there, walking down the stairs and hearing what sounded like a footsteps behind you. things that I can relate to and kind of give my thoughts on is what I do these for. And so hopefully you enjoy them. Even if you haven't seen the episodes, you can get a quick rundown of what happened. If you haven't had enough time to watch a whole hour episode, you can hop on to the Capture Paranormal podcast, give us a like and subscribe, give us a review, and you can check out what's happened on the previous Ghost Hunters episodes. We're going to be doing Ghost Nation. We did a Ghost Nation episode last podcast. You can check that out. It was kind of a double episode with Ghost Hunters versus Ghost Nation. We've done the Ghost Hunters episode now. On this episode, we're going to have an extra episode coming up strictly for the Ghost Nation episode. Like I said, we might do a Ghost Adventures serial killer four-part series all in one episode next month. And then we'll continue to do Ghost Nation episode reviews. And plus, before the Ghost Hunters season finale on October 30th, we have the World Biggest Ghost Hunt on A&E, and we'll be discussing that as well. So, thanks for listening to the Capture Paranormal podcast. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at Capture Paranormal. Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/CaptureParanormal. And as I said, we have the Patreon community we're looking to build, and we want to give you some content. So if you pledge to the team and donate to the team and to the podcast, you'll get some exclusive content, and we'll be doing that every month. So hop on to patreon.com/CaptureParanormal. Pledge at one of the tiers, the haunting tiers, and you can join our community. And we'd love to have you and love to create some more content for you. So with that, we want to thank you again for listening to the Capture Paranormal podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. For more information on Capture Paranormal, visit CaptureParanormal.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the Capture Paranormal podcast.